Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127-games.com.
Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 132, 5 tips to pick fun convention games. So for all of you new and longtime listeners alike, welcome to the show and thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Wargaming Recon. I want everyone to know this episode, like the one before where I had two incredible guests to talk about a fantastic Kickstarter for a new ancient history magazine, this episode is also being broadcast and recorded live. We have it all set up through Google's Hangouts on Air, so you can watch it through YouTube. You can get the recordings later on and see them that way. Or if you just prefer the audio, that's perfectly fine. It's the same content, except you don't get to see my smiling face, right? But that's okay. I so wanted to get that out of the way, just to let you know. And you can always get all of our live recordings. They do appear on YouTube afterwards, so head on over to wargamingrecon.com/YouTube. Don't worry, the link will be in the show notes. And speaking of those show notes, these are very important, right? Because they allow you to get all of the links to things we talk about and everything else that I kind of cover on an episode. So no matter what you want to remember, just ignore everything except for this one link, okay? Remember, wargamingrecon.com/WR132. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR132. And that will connect you to the show notes. You get everything that you need. So that way, if you're on your commute, you're at the gym, you're playing a game, whatever you're doing, you're painting, you don't have to be like, I need to write this down and that. And no one has time for that stuff, right? But you can remember the link for those show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR132. Today's topic, as I had said, is 5 tips to pick a fun convention game, or 5 tips to pick the right convention game. What do you want to play when you go to a gaming convention? How do you choose what to play? Originally, this episode was going to be about a different topic. If you had looked in the episode guide, you would have seen, I don't know, several weeks ago or earlier in March and late February of 2015, you would have seen that I had intended to cover TazCon 2015. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. My wife and the newborn, they were both sick. They got some sort of, I don't know, really bad head cold or upper respiratory virus. So there was just no way that I was going to be able to get to that because I had to take care of them when that was happening. So I had to come up with a new topic and I was like, you know, this is timely because, well, because of conventions that are coming up, conventions that I'm going to be going to, and I'll talk about those a little bit later in the show. So let's just dig in to the content, because I don't like to make you guys wait. You want to know what's going on and what I'm going to be covering. So I have 5 tips here, and these are ones that I use when I want to pick what I want to play when I go to a convention. There's so many different games and types of games, it can be overwhelming, and no matter how many times you've been to that convention, you could have been there 100 times, 500 times, right? And you know it inside and out, and yet it still is difficult to pick what games you want to play. So I have some trouble with that. I'm like, whoa, look at all this, and how can I choose? So these are some of the things that I do, and I think they make a big difference. They really help me, and I believe they're going to help you. And they're not in any particular order of importance. So whatever I list as number one doesn't mean that's the most important thing to do. This is just kind of the order that I go through. I'm like, step one, let me look at this, and then this, and this, and so forth. So the first tip that I have for you, right, is you have to ask yourself the question, what time is the game, okay? So maybe you have made plans with some other people who will be at the convention, and you're going to go for lunch or dinner at a certain time. You're going to meet them to do something there, to hang out, to catch up, to network, or whatever. If there's a game that happens at that time, you can't play in it, right? Because you made these other plans. So before you look at any of the other things I'm going to talk about, you want to see what time is it? Because if it interferes, that's no good. I know someone who is an industry guest at a local gaming convention. I'm thinking of Peter Bryant, who is an industry guest over at TotalCon. And he's been a guest here on Wargaming Recon a few times. He's told me that he does not sign up to run or play in any games early Saturday morning of TotalCon. Why? Well, well, he's having so much fun in the evenings that he needs to recuperate and sleep in. And that's great because he knows early morning's no good. And for me, I'm not going to get up and play at like an 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. game. It's just not happening. I'm going to use that time to get ready, take my shower, eat my breakfast, all that sort of stuff, and prepare myself. So that way I'm ready for the rest of the day. And am I likely to play in a game that's going to go until 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning? Probably not, for the same reason. I know I need to get my rest. I need to sleep. I need to have some time to unwind. And when I go to these conventions, I'm also not just going as an attendee. I'm going because I'm going for, usually for anyway, for the show. I'm doing it for Wargaming Recon, which means I need to get content for you. And I need to be able to order that and get that straight in my mind for how am I going to talk about it and how am I going to present it. Way back when I was in high school, and even when I was in college too, I was a journalist. I was a student journalist for the local paper, for the school paper. And one of the things that was drilled into me by my instructors was that whenever you go and you interview someone, you have to have all your questions, or you got to be prepared. You want to ask nice open-ended questions, the hows, the whys, not the whats or the did you. Questions with yes or no answers, bad. But on top of that, after the interview's done, after you've thanked the person for their time and you shook hands or whatever and you left, as soon as possible to the time you're done with that interview, you need to go find a nice quiet place and mull over your notes. Flesh them out. Make sure you got everything you need. Because when you're taking notes or when you're going to a convention, right, and you're thinking about things, you played games, you're doing different stuff, you think you're going to remember it, but you're not. So you need to take time later on in the day or throughout the day to think, okay, I did this, and then what happened in turn four, and did I like this, and who was that, and just to kind of jot all that stuff down. So for me as a podcaster, that's really important, but it could be important for you too. Not everyone's a podcaster, not everyone's a blogger or whatever. That's okay though. Maybe you played a game with people who you want to make sure you remember their names. You had such a good time, so you need to make the time for that. Or maybe you want to go to the vendor hall because you want to pick up the rules for the game that you played. You really liked it, or there's some models or whatever. You need to make the time. And that is why it's really important to kind of just look at the list of games and see what you're going to be playing, what times they are. If you need time or you think you're going to need time after a game, don't schedule stuff back to back. And if that means not playing in something, well, maybe next time you'll get to play in that. So that's my first tip. What time is the game? How long is it going to be? And does that work for you? Remember, if you have other things going on, if you're not an early riser or you're not a late night person, you're not a night owl, it's going to help you figure out what to do and what not to do. The second thing I consider is who's running the game? Who's the GM? We've all been in games where the person running it has been fantastic, and we've all been in games where the person running it is just, no matter how hard they try, it's not there yet. They need more practice. They need more something. It didn't work for whatever reason. Or maybe, and hopefully not often, but maybe some of you have been in a position where you played in a game run by someone and it was so bad, they were so awful, you said, I'm never playing in anything this person does again. Never. You need to remember this, because if you see the name of someone you really like, you want to sign up for their game. For example, I love playing in games that Mike Payne runs. He just happens to run fantastic events. I've talked about him numerous times here on the show. He gets embarrassed when I call him a super sad GM. So I'm not going to do that to you, Mike, but Mike, you are fantastic. All of his events, they're open to adults, but only if you're a grown up who likes to and can successfully play with kids. And I don't mean in that weird way, but his games are, he wants to get kids playing in the hobby. He wants to encourage them to do it. And the kids, they love it. If you're not the kind of guy or the kind of girl who can play well with others, who can play well with small children, his events aren't for you. But for me, they are fantastic and I love them. They are just so well done. And I have been known to pick his event, whatever it may be, over anything else, no matter how exciting it is, because I know he puts on one heck of a show, one heck of a game. And by the contrary, if there's just someone you can't stand who's running a game, stay away. Don't sign up for it. Don't think, oh, I really want to play this game for whatever reason. It'll be okay, because it won't. In the back of your mind, you're going to think, I don't like this person. I don't like this guy. I don't like this girl. This game master is just something about them, whatever they do, it drives you nuts and you can't do it, because you'll end up having a bad time, which means those around you will have a bad time. And next thing you know, it's going to be a negative experience for all of them. And let's face it, no matter how affordable these game conventions are, it costs money. It costs money to get there. It costs money to get in, to play the games if you're staying at a hotel or nearby, costs money for that. Money, right? And money's in short supply for so many of us these days. We really want to make sure that not only do we maximize the fun, but we do so in a responsible way for us and for those around us. No use being miserable or making others miserable. It's just, there's no need for it. So look at the GM, look at the time. And if you find a game, you say, I get this time slot, let's hear it. And you find the GM, and you're like, whoa, I love this GM. I'm going to do that. There you go. And hey, could you say maybe think, I really love this GM and I want to play in the game, but it doesn't match with my time slot. Well, you got to make a judgment call. Keep in mind, these are just tips. You really have to take them and weigh what the results are and make the decision yourself for what works best for you. Is it better for you to do a time slot that you don't like so you can play with a GM that you really do? Or is it better to maybe stick with the time slot you like and pick a different game that might work just as well for you, but maybe not, and take a chance? So the third tip I have is, what are the rules being used and have you played that before? So there's really, in my opinion, two schools of thought on this, or two main schools of thought. The first is you can play what you know. So if there's a set of rules that you played a million times, you know them like the back of your hand, I get this mole right here, and you know what I mean, right? If there's something like that and you love them and you play them for a million years, that's all you play. You don't try anything new. You just do that. That's one school of thought. You stick with what you know and what you love and what's intimate and feels comfortable. The other school of thought is you go to conventions to play things that you wouldn't normally play. You're playing new stuff because you can play the same old, whether you're doing a solo war game, whether you have a group of people, a club, friends come to your house, you go to a friend's local game store or whatever, but you can play the usual stuff there. You want new stuff to learn, to enjoy, hopefully, and then take back with you to your home gaming environment. Two completely different schools of thought. Where do I land? Which one does Jonathan belong to? Neither. Okay? I'm not making it easy for us. Anyway. So what I really do is I split the difference, okay? I'm someone who, by my nature, I love the comfortable. I'm not really going to go out of my comfort zone. Much like, for those of you who are familiar with Kevin Smith's film Clerks, is true for Dante. Dante loves what's familiar, much to his detriment. And I don't think I'm that bad, but if I can take something that I've known, a known quantity, as opposed to something new, I'm going to take the known, because the new is scary and it's different and I don't understand it. And what if it's bad and disappoints me? But I'm not quite like that when it comes to gaming. So when I'm going to do a game at a convention, when I'm going to play one of those, I split the difference. I will play something more than once if I am familiar with it, whether it's that I'm familiar with the rules or I'm familiar with the GM, whatever. And I will do that. And like I said, I'll play in anything, say, that Mike Payne does. I'll play in anything that Rich Clayton does, anything from the Boston Train bands, anything that they do, I will do, right? Because I know they're fantastic events. But also, I try to think about, why would I be playing it more than once? Is it because it's run by an incredible GM, as in these cases that I mentioned? Is it because I love the rules? For example, I love Black Powder. Black Powder, great set of rules by Warlord Games. Fantastic. Well written, well designed. People might disagree with me on that, but in my opinion, it's well done. Allows you to modify it. Encourages you, actually, to do that. It covers a wide swath of time so that you can kind of dig in and do what you need to and not spend $1 million on a bunch of different rule books, which is another thing I love. Do I love the rules? Then yeah, maybe I'll play in it. Am I helping a friend out? Say I got a buddy, right? And my buddy is running the event and he's worried about having enough people playing in it. If it's a rule system that I'm familiar with, maybe I'll say, yeah, do you know what? I'm going to sign up for your event. I want to help you. I want to play in this. I'm going to have a good time because it's going to be cool, and I'll help to fill a seat so that way it looks good and encourage my buddy to continue to try again and do more events. And then in time, the more people who are playing at their events, the more people will see, whoa, look, there's a full table. It's almost a full table, whatever. Maybe I should try. I can't get in this time, maybe I'll try next time. And then help my buddy to get established and get going so that they have a following on their own. So these are all things that I consider when I'm looking at, do I want to play something more than once? Alternately, I'll play something new if it's something maybe I've heard about that I've been wanting to play. Perhaps I've read something online or word of mouth, someone has said, this is really cool, or another podcast has talked about it. I'll consider it then. What will actually push me over is if I am in love with it for some reason. I've never played whatever this new thing is, but the buzz is great. It looks really cool. All the reviews are great. Maybe I've looked it up on YouTube. It looks really cool. And if I feel that way, chances are it's something I want to cover for Wargaming Recon. I want to cover for you guys. And if it's something I want to do for the show, I bite the bullet and I do it. And maybe it's going to be great. Maybe it's not. And you can tell if it was good or not, because if it was good, it ends up appearing in an episode of the show someday. And if it wasn't, I don't talk about it anymore. One of my kind of rules in general for Wargaming Recon is I only have things on here that I like, things I love, things that I want to put myself behind saying, I support this, I like this, whether it's a person, a product, a place, a thing. So if I'm not talking about it, maybe I'm not aware of whatever it is, or maybe it's because I don't like it, or I don't think it's going to work out, you know? I try to keep the show positive and upbeat. There's so many places in the world you can go these days for negativity, and who needs that, right? You don't need it from me. You don't need it from anyone else. I'm not going to give it to you. So if it's something cool and new and I'm like, God, this might be great for an episode of the show, I'll sign up for that and give it a try. And that's actually going back to Black Powder, right? That's actually how I got started with Black Powder. I'd heard cool things about it from listener Adrian and from some other people. And I thought, this might be interesting. It might be cool. Maybe I should check it out. I heard good things from some other people that maybe I should give it a try. But I wanted to play it, right? I wanted to see what is it really like before I get too deep into it and before I talk about it on the show, because I wanted to talk about it with all of you here at Wargaming Recon. So when I was up at Huzzah up in Portland, Maine, it was several years ago, 2011, 2012, something like that. Maybe it was 2010. Anyway, it was early 20-teens, right? I went to it and I signed up and happened to sign up for a game that was being run by the Boston Trained Bands. Great group of guys, fantastic historical wargaming club. It was the Battle of Alusty, Civil War, 28 millimeter models, Perry Brothers models, run by fantastic guys. And it was my first chance playing Black Powder. And I was doing it because I knew I wanted to potentially talk about Black Powder on the show. Lo and behold, I sign up, I play, have a fantastic time. I understand the game and the rules much better. And I'm still talking about Black Powder to this day. I'm still playing. I'm running events with Black Powder. So that tells you that it's worth taking the chance on something new. And that's just how I kind of evaluate. Do I want to try something new? Do I want to do something old? Like I said, some people, they'll only do what's familiar, what's comfortable, and other people will say, this is my chance to try only new things, because when else am I going to do it? There's no right or wrong way, really. It's whatever's best for you. However, I really think you need to look at both, and don't just blindly pick whatever's familiar or whatever's not familiar. Look and see, why would I be picking what's comfortable to me, what's most familiar? Why would I be picking what's not? So that's something that it's worth considering when you're looking at these kind of things. So just to kind of recap, the first tip I have for you is, what time is the game? Because if it doesn't work with what other plans you have, or if you're not an early riser, or you don't like to be up late or whatever, don't sign up for the game, because you're going to be asleep, you're not going to show up at worst. Who's running the game? Who's the game master? Are they really good? Do you love what they do? Do you hate what they do? Is this something that just doesn't mesh well? Or maybe you don't know who the game master is. Chance to try someone new. There's so many great game masters out there, and we can't have possibly played in games that they've all run. It's impossible. But yet, they all deserve to be discovered. They all deserve a chance. For all you know, they're just starting out. It's their first time, and they're as nervous as you are, or more so probably, and they're just hoping someone's gonna sign up for the game and take a seat at the table and play. More than anything, they pour their hearts and souls into this, and they want you to give it a try. So look at who the game master is. And the number three is, what are the rules? Have you played that system, that game before? Do you like it? Is it new? And why are you going to play it? So that's something else to consider. Then let's move on to the fourth tip I have for you. The fourth tip is, how many people can sign up for the game and who else is playing in it? Now, I know this is a little picky, right? Because maybe it's a little too nitpicky to be more exact. And to be honest, you can't really always know this information. But let me kind of explain what I'm talking about. So let's say that you know a buddy of yours is going to be playing in a particular game. Maybe it's worth your time to play in that game as well, because you know you got a friend there, it's someone you like, and you'll have a good time gaming with them, because presumably you've had good times gaming with them in the past, and it makes it easier to get into something. It makes it easy to get into something new and different too. Maybe you happen to know that this is just someone you can't stand, someone nearby or someone who always goes to this particular convention, they play a particular type of game, and you know whether you know or you suspect that they're going to be playing in that game, and you don't get along. That's okay. You don't have to like everyone, but you don't get along. Don't play in the game. Don't try it. Cause again, this goes back. You will be miserable. They will be miserable. Everyone around you will be miserable, right? It's just, it's not good. Now let's look at how many people are playing it. Is it a game where you're one on one? Do you prefer having a teammate? Maybe you like having pairs and someone to bounce your ideas off of so that you can play together. But if it's a game where it's one on one, maybe that doesn't work for you. What if it's a game where it's like 6 or 10 people to a side? Is that too many? Cause you got to coordinate all that. Then you have all those different personalities involved. Maybe that's not to your liking. Maybe that tells you it's going to take too long. It's going to be too involved. Maybe you're not going to get to do as much in the game as you would like if there were fewer people. So it's worth keeping in mind for what there's going to be for how many people. Like I said, if you only like playing one-on-one, don't play a multiplayer game. If you like playing with a lot of other people, you want to look for ones that say that they can fit 6 or 8 or 10 people or 4 people, 5, you know, where it's going to be more than that, so that it'll fit what you like. And plus, the number of players gives you an idea as to how complicated it's going to be and how much time it'll take. So if you're hoping to scoot out early, say it's the last day of the convention and the last slot, and you know you're going to want to leave because you're going to want to beat traffic or whatever, don't play in a game that's going to have a ton of people, because it's going to go long right to the clock. I kid you not, it will. And consequently, if you want something that's going to expand to fill the time, to really have that sense of fun and that sense of environment, you want something with more people. It's just, it's how it is. So that helps you to pick that. Now, kind of in line with this is the fifth and final tip that I have for all of you. You need to ask yourself, how involved do you need to be in order to play the game? What do I mean by this? Okay. Cause to play a game, you have to be involved. You have to participate. You have to do something, right? So what I mean is that, for example, there's a few different things. Sometimes, and this has happened at Huzzah a few times, which is actually kind of what made me think of this, but sometimes there's going to be a big, like, final battle, big final game at a convention. And to make it happen, people kind of plan in advance that they're going to sign up, and that as part of that, they might have to buy, assemble, paint, modify, and so forth, lots of models to contribute to make this a large battle happen. Because it's easier if you have many people contributing, you know, 20, 50, 100 guys to an event, instead of having one person do all that for 1,000 troops, right? If you like that, if you're going to have the time, if you will definitely have the time to do all those things and the things that you like, then that's the kind of game that's for you. You know, you're going to be very involved. You're going to have that sense of ownership, which is cool. But if you're someone, say you're like me, I'm a reluctant painter. I don't have the time. I don't really have the inclination to do that sort of stuff. I would not want to play in that type of game because it's too involved for me. Also, you want to look at how complicated the game is going to be. And I've alluded to this with my previous point, point number 4. For example, you know, some games are just complicated. I game with my buddy Adrian, and he can kind of tell whether a game is something I will play or not by how in-depth it is. Is it going to take a lot of time? Because I am the kind of person who prefers to play a bunch of games in a shorter span of time so I can try a lot of different things and just kind of bounce around stuff, whereas I'm less likely to want to spend 12 hours playing one game. So something like the board game Talisman, not so much for me. Yet for you, that could be perfect, right? For me, not so much. So you can kind of tell by the description of the game that's given, because there's usually a description, or if you know what rule system there is, you look it up online. Everybody does that, right? Look it up. Oh, what is this rules and what is it like? Maybe you have a friend who does it. Maybe a podcast you listen to has talked about it. So you can see, oh wait, is this really involved? Do I like this? Do I not like this? What am I thinking? And all that kind of stuff. And so if you just want to play casual games, don't sign up for some sort of in-depth tactical whatever. And if you hate casual games, surprise, don't sign up for those either. You got to go with what you like. How much are you going to be willing to put into it? Some games, they just make you think more, and that's okay. In other games, they're more fun, and nothing wrong with that, but it allows you to kind of think, oh, where am I going to go with this, and what am I going to do? So if you want something that's really big and intense with lots of models, you're like, woo, fantastic. Make sure you find that, and if you're just like disgust about it, oh, not for me, I can't do that. Well, lo and behold, try to avoid it, unless, you know, it fits in one of your other reasons. If you really want to try something new, and your wheelhouse, right, is those simple casual games, you're like, I'm going to try something different. I really want to try this new thing. It looks cool. It sounds cool, whatever. But it's so more complicated, more in-depth than what I would normally do. Give it a try. You might just surprise yourself and you might find that you like it. And maybe that means you'll like other games of that. So to recap the five tips that I have, first one is, what time is the game? Is it in the early morning? Is it a time that doesn't work for you? Number two is, who's doing the game? Is it a GM you like, one you don't like? Someone new. Give them a try. Everyone has to start out somewhere. Everyone's new at some point. Number three, what are the rules being used? Have you played them before? Do you want to play what's familiar? Do you want to try something new? Number four, how many people can sign up and who else is playing? If there's people playing that you don't like, don't play in it. If it's something that requires a lot of people and you prefer with fewer people, that gives you a clue on what to do there as well. And then finally, number five, how involved do you need to be in order to play the game? Is it a casual game? Is it in depth? What do you need to do? What do you need to bring to the table? If you just want to come and show up at the convention and just yourself, here I am, and you want to play, that's great. But don't go sign up for something where you had to spend months beforehand assembling everything and putting stuff together and so forth. So those are just my tips for all of you. And as I said, this came about because I got to pick what I want to play at Huzzah. And I'm going to get into this a little more in just a few minutes because I want to get into the mailbag. But that was my thinking behind all this. And I was like, well, how am I going to pick? Well, let me look at this. And this is my thought process. So I hope it helps you because it really helps me a lot whenever I'm going to a convention, just kind of pick what I want to play. And without it, I don't know how I would choose. So if you have another system you use or another method that you use to pick what you're going to play, please let me know. Send an email to jonathan@wargamingrecon.com and tell me what it is. Or you can leave a comment on the show notes. You can leave it on Facebook, on Twitter. I mean, we're all over the place. And just tell me what you do. How do you pick what games you play at a convention? You get that whole list. How do you choose? It's hard, right? So the mailbag, right? Mailbag is a part of the show where I share with you some comments or thoughts that have been conveyed to me by listeners like you, right? So I have two comments here that I want to share with you. The first one is a comment that was on YouTube. It was actually posted as a comment to the live YouTube recording for episode 131 where I had Mr. Jasper Ortiz and Mr. Joshua Browers on to talk about the Ancient History Magazine Kickstarter. And this is from listener P. Beckas, who has their own YouTube channel. It's worth checking out. And they said, quote, I always imagine Jasper looking like a Viking, unquote. I got to tell you, I don't know where that comes from, but when I read that, I actually read that on my break at work, and I started roaring. I was like, ha, 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 this is way too funny. And I don't know where that comes from. It doesn't have a whole lot of merit for actual wargaming stuff, but I wonder who else has thought Jasper looked like a Viking, because, well, watch the video. You'll see what he looks like, because well, look on Facebook. We get his picture on Facebook. And then the second one is a really cool message. It was sent to me by a listener, Josh. He sent it as a private message through Facebook, and that's right. You can send private messages to me through Facebook. If you happen to like Wargaming Recon on Facebook, don't worry, link in the show notes. There's a way to message me on that, and then it shows up, and I get a little notification that says, you have a message, and I look at it and read it, and I can reply and so forth. So listener Josh had sent me a private message through Facebook, and he said, quote, I am a former radio presenter from Australia and a longtime listener of your podcast. I'm looking at getting into making a podcast from Australia. Just wondering if you would be keen to share some ideas and whatnot. Always great to make another friend in the hobby, unquote. So first I want to thank both listener P. Beckas and Josh for sending me those messages through YouTube and Facebook's private messaging feature. And I had sent a really lengthy reply to Josh. We actually have struck up a conversation about the topic. And first of all, I want to tell you that he has gone ahead and launched his very first podcast. I'm so excited about it because anytime someone is getting into something new, it's really cool. And he's passionate about this. His show is called The Hobby Desk Podcast. And you can get to it by going to wargamingrecon.com/hobbydeskpodcast. It's a monthly gaming podcast. He also has a Facebook account, a YouTube blog. And I've enjoyed what he's done on there. It's pretty cool. And you can tell that he has just some amazing stuff there. And in time, the more experience, Josh, that you get with the podcasting, the better and better it's going to be. But you have really good stuff there. It you have this passion that it just it exudes out, and it's clear to see how much you love the hobby and how interested you are in all of it. And it comes across. So I say stick with it and do all you can. So like I said, you can listen to his podcast. I gave you the link. And I just want to mention, I know there are others of you out there who blog and do other things pertaining to the hobby. But if any of you ever consider starting a podcast, I think you should do it because there's a need for it. If you're listening to this show, people are listening to other gaming podcasts, a huge need for it. And I think you really should give it a try. It's easier than you think. It's more affordable than you think. You can do so much of it for free, actually. And if you ever want to try that, just contact me because I'm happy to give some advice and, you know, do what I can to encourage you and lend a hand. But I also want to say there's two podcasts that I love that I listen to almost religiously when it comes to podcasting. And they've helped me a lot to make Wargaming Recon as good as it is today. And the first is The Audacity, the podcast by Daniel J. Lewis. I'll have a link to that in the show notes. And the other is The Podcast Answer Man by Cliff Ravenscraft. Also, there'll be a link in the show notes. And they're different avenues in how to podcast and advice and style, but they're both really good. I have to say I lean more towards Daniel's The Audacity podcast just because he does a lot of very practical and down-to-earth and accessible content. It's like, well, what do you do when this is wrong, or how do you make this better? Whereas The Podcast Answer Man by Cliff Ravenscraft is more of a theory kind of thing. It's overarching. These are just like ways to think. So it's kind of comparing like the nitty gritty, like a step-by-step guide with a more philosophical overarching view of it and way to understand and a mindset of it. But I think both are worth your time for any of you who are interested in it. But like I said, send me a message. I'm happy to share my successes and my pitfalls with all of you. I've had plenty of both. Well, probably more pitfalls than anything, but I think it's worth the time to do it because we can use so many more great and devoted Wargamers who want to talk about the hobby. You're talking about something else. Maybe you have a passion about something else. Perhaps you love music or art, or you loved reading, or you're into cars or something. There's a need for all of it. Trust me. So now I get some announcements for all of you. And the first one actually is tied into that last bit of mailbag. So I am delighted to announce that the Hobby Desk podcast, that's right, by Joshua Shoebridge, is the newest member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. So Josh, welcome aboard to the network on behalf of all of us here at Troll in the Corner. So excited that you're here. And I've just been so impressed with what Josh has done in such a short span of time that I actually got in touch with Ben Gerber. He's the head honcho over at Troll in the Corner. I said, Ben, you got to check this podcast out. Do you think it's worth us asking to see if he's interested in joining the network? And lo and behold, Josh said, yes. And I was like, yay. And he is a new member on there. So for any of you who listen through trollitc.com, you'll be able to get the Hobby Desk podcast on there. I encourage you to subscribe to it via iTunes or whatever podcast apps you use. And it'll be all the places that the rest of us are. So be sure to check that out. And I'm really looking forward to hearing his views on wargaming of all types down in Australia. One of the cool things that I've learned about Josh is that he has two young children. And of course I have my daughter Catherine. She's 7 weeks old now. And I'm really interested how wargamers are parents and how they manage to fit in gaming and how they make it all work. It's new to me and I'm sure it's new to a bunch of you, the rest of you. And I'm sure there's a lot of you who've done this in the past and you're like, whoa, you young whippersnapper. Not that any of you talk that way, but I've been there 20 years ago and I did all of that. I would just love to get everyone's take on it. And so I'm really interested to see how Joshua does it and how that works out. And then also I want to say that by the time you listen to this, I will have already been to Havoc 2015. I'm going to be covering that in an upcoming episode of the podcast. But for all of you who are watching live, I can tell you that Havoc is this coming Saturday. That's March 28th is when I'll be there, Saturday in the afternoon. I'll be there with listener Adrian. He's my buddy. We just kind of hanging out and seeing what's going on. I know that some other listeners will be there. I believe Mike Payne will be there. I believe Boston Train Bands will be there. Dean Emerson, who's a guest and also one of the organizers for Huzzah, will be there. And Stephen Parento, who was a guest on a previous episode this year. He's a event director for TotalCon, but he will be at Havoc because he makes a point of going every year. So you can be sure to find me there. And if you listen to this not live, I was there, unless I got like a zombie flu or something, but I was there. I'm sure it was great, and I'm going to talk about it in an upcoming episode of the show. And then finally, speaking of conventions, because this is like a convention episode, right? Speaking of conventions, I want to encourage all of you to join me at Huzzah in beautiful Portland, Maine. It's going to be May 15th to the 17th, 2015. I've talked about this in previous episodes of this year, and you need to go. I'm going to be doing my very first in-person live recording of Wargaming Recon. So even if you're watching Wargaming Recon right now live and you're thinking, well, this is live, how's it different? I will be there in person, and you'll be there in person. You can come up to me and be like, hey, I'll be recording, of course, but I'll be having some guests. I'll have Dean Emerson. He'll take some time to come on. And for all of you who can't be at Huzzah, you'll be able to watch it YouTube live. So just like you're doing now, you'll be able to see all of that. And it's just, it's going to be a blast. So hopefully you can make it if you haven't already signed up. I think pre-reg is, I think it might be ended or ending soon. So act fast. There'll be a link in the show notes. And a pre-reg is done. I think you can still register in person. Don't quote me on that, but I think you still can. So that's Huzzah 2015, Portland, Maine. And like I said, I'll be doing a live recording there. My very first live in-person recording there at Huzzah. And so don't forget also, if you enjoy what I'm doing here with Wargaming Recon, and I like to think that if you're listening to it, yeah, you do enjoy it. But if you enjoy it and if you have a few extra bucks, I would really appreciate if you were able to support me on Patreon. You can go to wargamingrecon.com/Patreon. You can do it for as little as a dollar an episode. That's about $2 a month. Now, less than a cup of coffee for like the entire month. $2. And you spend more, or most people anyway, spend more on a small cup of coffee every day than it would cost to support me for a month. And that just allows me to do all sorts of things here. Helps me to automate things and get some more equipment and go to more stuff and get more games and things to review and all that kind of stuff. So if you're able to and you're willing, I would love to have your support. It would mean the world to me and make things so much easier. And if you're not, don't worry, because Wargaming Recon will always remain free. I'm not going to charge you a penny to listen to it, to watch it. It doesn't cost you anything. But if you're able to do Patreon, I would really appreciate it. Just think of it like a tip jar. Like you got good service, you got some value out of something, and that's what you're doing. So I want to just thank those of you who do and encourage those of you who do not to do so if you can. That's wargamingrecon.com/Patreon. And then don't forget that episode guide. It's actually very handy. And I know you're thinking, well, Jonathan, right? You said at the start of this episode that you had planned something else and it was in the episode guide. And then you changed it. And that is true. I did change it. And that might happen again in the future. You don't know. But it's worth looking at. So, for example, it tells you if you're looking at that episode 133 should be Havoc 2015. Episode 136, I'll be my live in-person recording from Huzzah. The episode 148 in November will be my annual holiday gift guide special. And I'll just be filling that up as time goes on with guests and show topics and all that kind of stuff. So the episode guide is the way to go. And at this point, I want to remind all of you, you didn't need to remember anything else I talked about on the show except for this one link, and that is the show notes. Remember, wargamingrecon.com/WR132. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR132. Take you to the show notes where there'll be links, and you can find out what my 5 tips are and how to get in touch with me and more about all sorts of cool things, such as the Troll in the Corner podcast network and the newest member, the Hobby Desk podcast. So that's this episode. That's a wrap. Unlike some podcasts, I don't believe in stretching things out to reach some mythical intangible recording time. When the show's over, it's over, folks, right? That's all they wrote. But I want you to remember one other thing, okay? You know what I'm going to say because I do it every episode. This is what my 132nd time doing it. No matter how busy you are in life, no matter how much time you need to spend to figure out what games you're going to sign up for at those game conventions, and no matter what else is going on in your world, you have to, you gotta, you need to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Cast, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
Geeks Explicitly, new episodes coming at you every Thursday, talking about geek life. If you don't listen to Geeks Explicitly, then only at trollitc.com.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 12-7-games.com.